is in the building.
Jeez, bro, I'm buying a Hollywood Grove, this is a Hollywood Grove, and I'm gonna tell you something that you probably should know. This that Slumdog Millionaire Bollywood flow, and
I couldn't get much further than 11.
You know, I don't think I'd ever noticed the weird noises that you're making before.
Yeah, that's not me. It sounds like me, that right before the rapping starts.
Yeah.
But like, I wasn't comfortable enough with the song to actually do that myself. It just, like, it really sounds like me. That was definitely not me.
It's just there?
It's just there. Yeah, definitely.
What a fun surprise.
It sounds just like... Play it again. It sounds just like me.
Yeah, let's...
It does. It sounds like a sound that I'm making. But I promise you it is not. Right before he starts rapping. It's at least 20 seconds further in. Right before he starts rapping. Yeah, here. That is definitely not me. It's 100% not me.
I had no idea.
Yeah. I've listened to this version of me rapping this song probably about 30 times now, and I, around the fourth time, I was like, that really sounds like me. It is not. Welcome back. Shout about ballers. We're here. We're going to shout about ballers.
I said last week, I don't see how this gets better, and I'm not right about much. But
you're dead right.
Whoa. Picked the wrong year to do this. It would have been much better to do this for season two.
This is a very low-T episode. Last week was a bad episode. This one was boring.
Yeah, which is worse.
Yeah, it's so much worse to be boring.
I can handle a bad episode because at least I can just laugh. Like, be like, remember
laugh at their choices.
Yeah. So, I mean, this had its fair share of bad things too. But generally, yeah, it just not a lot of action. I guess in a way, they had to walk it back a little bit. You can't wreck a monster truck every week. Although, if there was one show that could.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. The show opens up with the boys, our two beautiful sons, speaking on the boat with Anderson about how The Rock apparently didn't run moving an NFL team to Vegas by Anderson at all, his boss, which seems like an oversight to me.
It is. It also brings to mind, like, why this is good for the company. He says money, but...
Yeah, no, it's...
But, like...
How is he... They're not going to be owners.
How's, like, one guy... Yeah, you know, how's this his decision? It's like if one senator decided that they were going to start a war with, like, some country that, you know, we weren't currently fighting with.
I guess, like, for notoriety, like, they'll get more clients because they were the guys, but, like, oh, shouldn't he still be fighting? They've had this business for 9 minutes. They mention in this episode, like, good job getting your... certification, which, like, for two seasons, The Rock didn't have a certification to actually work with these guys. He literally just got it. By the way, I still don't think Ricky has an official NFL team, because I think this is supposed to be the same offseason as last year.
Well, they need to get to the season, because this sucks.
To clarify, really, yeah. And I think it's still the same offseason as last year, because they didn't talk about Ricky's season or anything. I think this is implied it's still the same offseason, which brings us to, did... The Rock have a sassy black assistant last year?
I think she's new. Although, again,
I don't think
don't
she's new this season.
Remember
not
much.
Like Ricky's baby mama. I think she came in a little bit last season.
I don't remember much of season two at this point, or at least not the tail end of it. But I can tell you that I don't remember her.
She's got the nicknames for The Rock. She calls him Boo Boo. Just you know what The Rock needs in this show? We don't have enough sassy black women. Yeah, none of that. All the black women in the show are very wise, but none of them are like classic, like racial stereotype sassy.
Not enough. There's not enough black stereotypes on.
They're all
for you, Brendan.
They're all tough as nails. Beautiful racial integration in the show, but
beautiful racial integration. keep going. This is going well. Keep talking about the sort of black women you want to see on TV.
It's not the women I want to see on TV.
No, go on.
I don't want to see any black women on TV.
Brendan Harmoning, host of the Ballers Podcast, calls for the cancellation of Insecure.
Yeah, all of it.
Don't like it, he says.
There's some black people in Game of Thrones. I want it out, too.
All of them. Gone.
Yeah. Wife's... I'm sorry, Charles' wife is...
Wife's.
Yeah, it's the first word.
We still haven't learned Charles' wife. We forgot Charles' wife's name a while ago, and we both agreed that we wouldn't look it up.
Yeah, we're not going
to
look it up.
We're going to... Wait for them to tell us. She'll be referred to as Crindy until we hear it on the show.
Yeah. No, that's... we've made this agreement, and he just keeps calling her baby.
Again, Charles' wife made the mistake of not leaving Charles when she can do better.
She could do much better.
She could do much better.
Although he is in the front office of an NFL team now. She's doing okay.
Yeah, he's a yutz, though, isn't he?
They all seem to love him,
outside
though.
The world of football. But why?
I don't understand why.
He's bad at his job. He just seems confused
all
the time. He's
just bumbling around from one thing to the next. Just being, like, he doesn't have any initiative. He doesn't know what to do. They just keep assigning him tasks. And that's the worst kind of employee.
Yeah, they just keep assigning him tasks. The big controversy around his storyline in this episode is that, like, he spotted someone that they brought in, like he scouted someone that they brought into the team, and then Mr. Seifert took credit for that, but they've never made any reference to him doing that sort of work before.
No,
I don't remember any single time where he was doing scouting.
No, he absolutely did. At the end of last season, he went and got that kid. He went and, like, or whenever he got the job, he went and saw a kid.
Well, again, as I've already
said. We are both incredibly fucked up whenever we watch the show.
As I've already said in this episode of our own show, that I don't remember the end of season two.
It was either the end of season two, it may have been the beginning of season three, but he goes and he was like, this kid should have been drafted, but he had some trouble, so let's get him in a good environment.
If HBO wanted me to remember what happens in this show, they got to put it on way earlier in the day. They got to put this on at noon.
He gets mad that he has a boss who has a lot of pressure on him, so he has to take credit. Like, he's at the top of the food chain. Of course he took credit for your work.
Yeah, I mean, that's what is good about getting to be the boss.
Yeah, it's also what's bad, because if it fucks up, it's his fault, too. Charles has no fucking idea what he's doing. Nor do the writers, so it's
heavy
fine.
Lies the crown. You know, you want to be number one?
You know I do. Don't want my women single. I like my chicks in twos.
The sword of Damocles, Brendan. Sword of Damocles. Feels good to, you want to be in that position of power, but doing so means sitting beneath that blade, hung by but a single horsehair. They could come down and kill you in your throne at any time. Sometimes that is a form of bottle service girl.
Oh, Ricky loves a bottle service girl.
Who doesn't?
That was a direct quote from, I think, like two episodes ago. Yeah, so Ricky has some issues he doesn't want to go meet with Amber's baby doctor, as they call her. His dad wisens him up right quick. Sets him straight, his son. With my favorite line where he says, "And the baby, they soak up the fear." I'm like, no, I think they're just eating food down there. I think that's about it. They're not soaking up the fear. Are you playing some music? Turn it down a little bit. Play some music.
This is about as low as it goes. But if you can't hear the lyrics of the song, then the joke is gone. I'm not just playing any Amy Mann song as bed music. I'm specifically playing Wise Up. You're stepping on the joke here. I shouldn't have played a live version, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you stepped on your own joke.
It is also, by the way, the version of Wise Up, the studio version off the Magnolia soundtrack, is no longer on Spotify. The rest of the Magnolia soundtrack is, bar Dreams, but Save Me is still on there.
Are you good now?
That's advice for Ricky Jarrett.
From Amy Mann.
So, from Live at St. Anne's Warehouse, because the studio version is no longer on Spotify.
How many times are they going to do this storyline with Todd or Jason or whatever the fuck, where he has to go meet with an athlete? At the beginning it was Vernon, and then it was, what's his name, Ricky. Now it's Kayson, where he goes, "You have to tell me everything. Be straight up with me." And they're like, "I'm being straight up with you." And then it turns out, oh, hey, they're not. Like, this is season three, and this is still the exact same storylines as season one.
Yeah, I'm sure that this is getting lied to about bad behavior by professional athletes is something that agents deal with quite a bit. But as an audience member here, I need a little more.
Yeah, no, this has not
been something better for Jason to do.
Yeah, it's just every episode he just gets blindsided by some NFL coach or GM by some shitty thing. And then it was like, oh, it turns out it really wasn't my fault. And he's like, yeah, but you fuck every episode. Every third episode, I guess, this happens to him.
Thereabout, yeah.
Yeah. How did you feel about Mark Schlereth?
I hate Mark Schlereth every single time that I see him anywhere. I hated watching him on The Herd today. That's my own fault for turning it on.
Yep.
You know, of all the people that I could fight in this world, like, if I had a chance, fair fight, me versus anyone, I could pick Jeff Sessions. I could pick romantic rivals.
Sure.
I don't have any anymore. As far as I'm aware,
everybody's backed off.
Someone might be.
They
yeah,
smelled an alpha and they took a step
yeah,
back.
I don't know. There might be someone who's like mad at me for something. I don't know. Maybe you like the wrong girl's photo, so I get somebody's ire up.
Sure.
But I don't know if someone's real mad at me. I'm not aware currently. All this is to say that if I could fight literally anyone, I feel like I'd end up picking Colin Cowherd. For one, I think I could beat him up pretty easily. And two...
It doesn't strike me. He's not physically imposing.
No, but two, someone should.
I'd like to...
Here's the thing.
If you fight Cowherd, I'll fight Skip.
He's very smug, Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, and he's got that smugness of, like, I've never been punched in the face before.
He's someone who needs some humility.
A stiff
lesson.
And
it's clearly never come when people are just like, hey... You're a racist, and that's never slowed him down. When he called the entirety of the Dominican Republic retarded,
then walked it back. Well, he's racist, and apparently The Rock is sexist. He told future.
Absolutely wasn't paying attention during the beginning of the scene, but then I remember looking up and he was involved in some sort of LeVar Ball situation, where he was telling a woman to shut up. He's talking over top of a woman. He's manspreading. He's doing all these things.
Yes, he did some mansplaining, and he said that she could not wear. Did you say manspreading?
Yeah,
that's not the word.
No, it's not.
Manspreading is something that's specifically Google in your own time. But you're on the Ballers podcast. You leave your manspreading to yourself.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about spreading a man and taking him.
Are you genuinely unaware of the term?
Of man spreading?
Yeah. It's a public transportation thing where guys will sit with their legs wide open and like take up three seats on the subway.
Oh, I didn't know that had a term. I thought it was just being a dickhead.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So who was man spreading?
I was just trying to name obnoxious male behaviors, but I couldn't think of any others. I would have named them all, but that was all I could think to say.
Mansplaining.
But I think mansplaining is what I wanted to say, and then all I could think of was spreading.
Spreading. Well, yeah. Thank you for that. Now I know it. Now it does. That's not a specifically male thing, though. I don't enjoy. I don't care for your terminology.
How many women you see sit with their legs wide open on the train?
I see women, often what they like to do is have the purse next to them. I don't care for that. If it's open, I don't mind, but like...
Oh, well, of course, if it's open, who cares?
When we get down into the thick of it, like, yeah, you need to move that purse on your lap.
If it's, you're on an empty train, middle of the day, late at night,
I was on a train once.
Do whatever you want.
I was on a train once, and
it's a crowded train.
It was a crowded train, and a woman had one of those like wheelie walkers. She wasn't an old lady; she was probably about 30. She was a bit overweight, but she didn't based on my knowing nothing of her, she didn't appear to be someone who would have to have a walker. She just had one, and like it was just fucking in the way. It was just in the middle of the aisle, and like I think I must have like accidentally laid my hand on it or something, or my leg was touching it. But she turned to me and very rudely was like, "Please don't fucking touch that." And I was like, "What? Whoa, that." And my friend Brittany looked at me and she's like, "Why did that get so aggressive so quickly?" And I'm like, "I don't know. People are very touchy about their walkers, apparently."
Yeah. "Ma'am, I will throw it off this train at the next stop."
She's like, "Let's see how it does into the spokes of these tires."
I think I remember someone telling a story about like on a very crowded train, just being screamed at for like being pressed up against someone. You know, obviously, like, there is a fair amount of sexual harassment that happens on trains, but like, all, you know, you're in close proximity to other people, and like on a very crowded 7 train, if you're getting yelled at because like your elbow hits someone in the head, just like, it's just gonna happen. It's just gonna happen.
I'm sorry. Joe and Reggie went to visit High Powered because The Rock wants him out of the weed business. And then about 9 of the most stereotypical and easy to write 9th grader jokes about pot ever ensued. They made a narc joke.
Mm-hmm.
They did the classic, like, I can't smoke, I can't eat your THC, I'm on the clock. And then he was, and then he went back, and like when they were leaving, and he stole a bunch of the gummies. And you're like, oh, yeah, you knew Joe wasn't getting out of that room without those gummies, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Joe loves to have fun.
Because everybody went, and Joe said, I can't do this, I'm on the clock. And everybody went, what? Joe said that? Are you kidding me? And then he's like, oh, classic Joe. Never mind. He ran back and stole a bunch of gummies. Classic Joe.
Classic.
And then immediately goes to the car and smokes a bunch of pot with Reggie and has another one of the most stereotypical stoner conversations. I could have written that.
There was one joke in that scene, though, that once The Rock called, but we should talk about what led to that particular phone call first, with and what is the worst acting in the history of the show.
What do you say we just let the acting speak for itself, Mike? Would you like to play the clip
from legendary Raiders wide receiver Tim Brown?
Here's the clip. I couldn't not have this played on our podcast. It had to be played.
Who got to? Nobody. Bullshit. Who got to, Tim?
Relocation talk has been going on for years. Way more experienced businessmen than you have failed, and a lot more in pursuit. So don't take it so hard. It's the nature of the biz.
You're out of your mind if you think I failed already. And enjoy the rest of your fucking workout. Fucking bicep workout. If that's what you want to call them, those little motherfuckers.
It's the nature of the biz.
Years. Way more experienced businessmen than you have failed, and a lot more in pursuit.
Had failed.
When they had him come in and read, first of all, Tim Brown is not really in the ownership group of the Raiders. Tim Brown would not be speaking to somebody on behalf of moving an NFL franchise, even if he's a Hall of Famer for that.
Yeah, it, of all people, it just...
Jerry Rice is not talking to anybody about the 49ers. Like, this is not Jerry Rice's job. Why? This is another one of those, like, to me, where we disagreed last week about, like, Jay Glazer's role, like... The big difference between this and Entourage is, like, when Entourage brings in an actor for a blatant cameo, that actor can act. And, like when they brought in Seth Green for tons of episodes, and Seth Green is like, he's not, like, hilarious, but he's funny enough to be on television, I guess. I don't know what you're, I'm not trying to step into a big rabbit hole here. I know you have strong opinions on celebrities, I'm sure. I'm not trying to cause a Seth Green kerfuffle right now.
I don't like what he does.
What I'm saying, though, is that instead of doing that, like I said, we're stepping right over it.
He seems fine. Generally speaking.
Yeah.
You seen?
That's what I was getting to.
You seen Party Monster?
I have not.
He's good. Great film. Love that.
He's an Idle Hands. I like Idle Hands.
Robot Chicken, not so much.
Yeah, so they had Tim Brown read these lines, knowing they don't need him. And they still gave him what seems to be a big part. Like, he's in charge. He's so far the face of the Raiders, the team The Rock is trying to move. Like, they're going to he's going to have to be on screen again, and that's a serious problem.
I just like The Rock confronting, like, any Raiders players over anything that happens. It's sort of be like, say Ezekiel Elliott gets suspended. In real life, mm-hmm. And you just, like, see Michael Irvin checking his mail, and you're like, what'd you do? How'd you let this happen?
I also like how The Rock has a very personal relationship with everybody in the NFL. What we didn't play from that clip is The Rock angrily walking into Tim Brown's gym and saying, I was in your wedding party, and you call me off for a workout? And it's like, how many times have you been in somebody's wedding party? Like, how many Hall of Famers are you just best friends with?
Also, like...
what's the connection to Tim Brown? He played for the Dolphins and the Saints, didn't he? Where's the Tim Brown connection? He didn't play for the Raiders.
Tim Brown,
Tim Brown to Spencer Strasbourne.
Yeah. There isn't... Well, I mean, Tim Brown went to Notre Dame.
Yeah, and in this...
And years before, like, he was drafted in 88.
Now, see, it now this, like, is confusing. In that, yeah, well, Tim Brown would have probably retired, but based on Spencer Strasbourne's timeline,
there
would
have been some crossover,
but not much.
No,
and based on the credit scene, which you really can't put too much stock into. They show The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, in his Miami football days.
Yeah.
So I infer that Spencer Strassmore also went to the U.
Definitely went to the university. He's got the helmet. He's got the helmet in his office.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
I forgot about that. Ricky gets schooled by his baby mama, and everybody fucking loves it. Everybody loves him getting owned by this girl. Dad, TTD, they both love it. They're so ready to check calendars. His dad's sitting in the back, he's going, and he said he was conceived 6 weeks ago, and his dad's laughing the whole time. What else happened this week? Oh, the biggest piece of irony. Last week, you called out the fact that Jason or Todd or whatever the fuck knew.
You've been going to the well a little too many times with that joke.
I'm going to do every time I talk about him, I'm going to do it. Last week, he knew that he's not supposed to look the stick-up man in the eye, okay?
Yep.
He says this, he's like, well, I don't know what he looks like. You don't never look the stick-up man in the eye. This week, when he's getting Kayson to tell him what he neglected to tell him in the first place, Kayson says, and we knew this guy who was supposed to get us a bunch of party favors at the club, and Jason looks at him and goes, party favors? He's like, weed, Molly, you know, that kind of thing. He goes, oh, party favors. Like, you know that you're not supposed to look the stick-up man in the eye, but when an NFL player, and you're an agent, when an NFL player goes to a club and says he bought party favors, you don't know what the fuck he's talking about. It's a very inconsistently streetwise man.
It's not good.
And they also said one of my least favorite things, one of the laziest things you can have a black person say in television. You crazy-ass white boy.
White boy's got some moves.
Oh, damn. Well, look at white boy over there.
That's anyone who's not seen the Mitchell and Webb sketch Speedo, that is a parody of House primarily, but it's very good.
Two more talking points left in this beautiful episode. The penchant for this show to have, our roommate brought this up, I'm not taking credit for this, but the penchant this show has for having people get really dressed up for dinner plans and drink plans, only to have somebody get owned in the first 3 minutes of conversation and stand up and leave is really good. I can't remember the name of the woman he was supposed to be with, but if you saw the episode, you know who I'm speaking to, and you know the scene I'm referring to.
Brendan didn't care for her because she wasn't sassy enough.
She wasn't sassy enough. No, it's just, I don't, no black women on television. I double down.
you said under your breath, I don't want any black women on TV. I'm doubling down, but I won't say it loudly.
That happens. Yeah, I'll double down, but I'm not happy about it.
No,
it's like in blackjack when you get two eights, and you're playing $20 hands, and you have $60, so you're like I'll split them, and you split them. Now you have $20 left, and one of your eights gets a three, and you go like, I guess I'll double down. And you're like, that's all my money, though. That's all of it. That was the confidence with which I said that. Everybody at the table's
that
looking at you
classic
like,
situation that we can all relate to.
Blackjack is a very popular game, Michael. It is a very popular game. People can relate to that. You always split aces and eights. Did you know that?
No.
You always split aces and eights.
I don't have any money.
You always split aces and eights.
You think I can afford to gamble at this level? You think I can afford to put $60 on anything?
You double down on 10s and 11s, sometimes 9s, based on what the dealer's showing. Yeah. You're learning. I wish you weren't being so infantile about learning about blackjack. I'm just trying to help you.
I don't care to learn about blackjack. I only want to be good at betting on... all I want to be good at is daily fantasy. And not even that so much anymore, because it's really unrewarding.
And I think the last thing I wanted to talk about is back to Tim Brown. I guess if, like, The Rock had to meet with Tim Brown just to, you know, dip his toe in the water, that's fine. But at the close of the episode, he calls Tim Brown with, like, actual numbers and, like, a real strategic plan. And that I have a problem with, because there's no way Tim Brown's handling numbers. Yep. Well, okay.
Can I read? We found out about r/ballers, the baller subreddit. And to close, I just want to read a comment on the episode discussion. And here's the thing: let this shot ring out, and we hope it's heard at HBO headquarters over on 6th Avenue. If the people who are participating in an online forum about your show universally hate it now, the show's not going so well.
No, It's The Rock, though. It's never going to get canceled. This is going to go five seasons, but, six seasons in a movie.
Well, if I may quote, just go, every episode is weak. I routinely tell people, quote, this is the worst show I enjoy watching. This is a comment from a Dr. underscore Crunchwrap. Very Reddit sort of name. It's got great scenery. It's got a lot of sports cameos, beautiful women. I love The Rock, and I love Rob Corddry and Andy Garcia a lot. With that being said, the writing and plot is just garbage. Pure garbage, almost every single week. There's something cringy every single episode. Episode 1, it was two 45-year-old guys talking about how strong their pullout game is.
Preach.
Episode 2 was all product placement and blatant advertising for Steph Curry and his wife, along with this monster truck scene. The fact that they're trying to act like nobody ever mentioned it to these billionaires that the NFL could be in Las Vegas until The Rock came up with the idea is unbelievably dumb. I continue to watch it because it's fun and lighthearted and doesn't take itself too seriously. But if you're watching this show outside the scope of anything besides its sports entourage, you're going to have a bad time.
That's well said. That's just well said.
But there are several people saying in this same thread, just like, if it doesn't turn around, like, I don't know if I can finish watching this season.
It's not going to get better.
It's not going to get... it.
They're really not giving themselves any outs.
No, unless they just stop... unless they come up with a completely new idea. Like,
I would just love if they were the writing...
if they just dropped the entire Vegas thing.
But they can't do it. They don't know it's going poorly. They already have probably three episodes ahead of this written and filmed.
Oh, yeah.
It's just fucked.
Oh, no, this thing's been done for months.
I'd like to see a hard... I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know if you're familiar with the second to last season of Dexter, but they had this fantastic bad guy who should have been like the big bad. But at the end of the season, they had to do like this hard pivot because he got cast in one of the Thor movies, the bad guy did. So they ended up finishing with this completely unrelated bad guy that they just had to shoehorn in. I would love for Ballers to have to just shoehorn in some season-ending plot just like Dexter did. I think that was the season before their final season. Dexter, good show. Watch season 4. If you're super interested, watch season 5, then fucking stop. Do not watch it all.
Never seen an episode of it.
It's fantastic. The first 4 seasons of that show are great.
I'm never going to get around to it.
Top tier.
Never going to get around to it.
You know what you're going to get around to?
I got soccer
next
podcasts to listen
week's
to.
Ballers, because we'll see you next week. That's it for us.
That's it.
Sean Bow Ballers, make sure you follow us, follow Sports Online.
Our promise to have good guests. It's just not going to happen.
Turns out nobody watches the show.
We thought it was, we've really underestimated the popularity of this thing, and no one wants to come on and talk
about it. That's the long and short of it. We really underestimated. I think I saw something somewhere. It was like, and then Ballers is on after Game of Thrones for the five. Or no, it was the Ballers leak. The Ballers episode leaked early with the Game of Thrones episode. He was like, there's somebody sent on Reddit. It was like, and here's the Ballers leak for the five of you that still watch this trash.
Honestly, the crossover between the audience has to be pretty small.
Yeah, like 5%.
I mean,
they're
like,
getting no boost there.
Plenty of meatheads love Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Because it's the way that people try to sell it. Just like, there's naked girls in it. And just like...
tits and dragons, bro.
Just like, yeah. You
that
know
what? Ian McShane gave that... he yelled at the Game of Thrones fans last year and saying exactly that because he was on an episode and everybody was... whenever a big actor gets cast, they try and figure out, because everything was in the books, trying to figure out who he's playing. And it turns out he was playing a character that wasn't written into the books. He was just created for the purposes of the Hound. But... He said something to some Game of Thrones fan, and they all came back at him, and he was just like, why do you guys get so upset about it? Your show is just tits and dragons. He's like, all right, I mean, I don't agree with your assessment, but it's a good assessment. It's funny.
No, he's right.
It's tits and dragons.
It's
don't
say
I'm
it's
not.
Tits and dragons. It's stunt casting.
It's a good show.
It's just, Noah Syndergaard's on it.
It's a good show.
He was in it this week. Did you notice that?
No.
He's in there.
He was on an episode?
He's in an episode.
Probably got burned alive.
I don't know that he said anything.
A lot of people got burned alive.
It's a bad show. Ballers is a marginally worse show than Game of Thrones, but Game of Thrones is also bad.
Game of Thrones is not bad. We're going to end the podcast before I find it. See you next week.